XY. Well, I know your name, but I forgot it, of course. But I remember that call. My name's Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. We got a little function. We're headed to church, having our Valentine dinner at church this evening, so we're heading into town for that. And what you out and about doing? All the name here is David.
Well, I fooled around with a couple of stations there just before I left on H after running a contest, CW only. And I would have liked to stay there, but I need to go down and talk to the kids and the grandkids and try to incite some esprit de corps, shall we say, into my grandson about college. He's listening to other kinds of offers that I want him to get his education first. But you know how it is when you're about 16 years old.
Well, back in the days when I knew everything and nobody could tell me nothing.
Exactly right. And I learned real quick that you should be learning something every day, and otherwise you'll deteriorate. And I'll tell you, at 75, my memory's not as good as it used to be because I used electrical things every day. I worked for 50 years as an electrician, electronic technician, machine shops and wheel plants and printing plants and even a hospital. But, yeah, if you don't use it, yeah, you lose it. That's why I like to keep up my CW.
There's stuff I've learned in school that I haven't used the last few years, and it's kind of slipped away myself. So. But anyway, I heard you in there wanting to speak at you. Say you good afternoon, and maybe some of the rest of them are out there and about, and come on in for a little while. You have a good evening, and I'll talk to you a little later. KF4NXY, I'm clear on your final.
Okay, David. Well, enjoy the comradeship and your church, and have a nice evening. The old sun's beginning to look like it's going to set here any time. And I heard my friend, another David, on here, just got a new radio in his car, and I heard Jerry on there earlier, but I was eating supper at that time, and I forgot and left the radio on in the car. Is the only reason I heard that, because we had the screen door open for a change. Take care, David, talk to you again. Pleasure's all mine. This is N0TR Clear.
And for DJC.
Hi, Jerry. I heard you earlier, but I guess you heard me. I left the radio on in the car, and I was sitting there eating supper, and I didn't want it to get cold, so I ran out and shut it off real quick, but I couldn't get in there. I heard you talking to CBA there. You know, I'm glad to hear he got a radio in his vehicle. That's wonderful. Sometimes with these new cars, that takes time.
Yeah, I wouldn't know where to start these days with all the control modules and all that sort of stuff that's in there, all the electronic gear that's, you just never know what you're getting into when you put a radio in a new car. You know, the grounding is different and, it just seems to interfere with everything sometimes. I've seen some nice installations on some of them, but, you know, the guy that did it really went out of the way did a good job installing it and did some regulators and stuff like that to keep the battery up. But, I know you remember years ago, you know, a mobile rig might run 10 watts, maybe 25 watts was unusual to run more than 25 at all.
I'm 60, 70 watts now. This is N0TR. Well, Jerry, I was concerned about this, even though this is a 20, got a lot of electronics in it, and they all run on a cycle of the bus system nowadays. But I put the antenna on a lip mount on the trunk, and it works very well there, and I've done that before. At the same time, I wasn't able to get under the car very easily, so I had a mechanic shop here. I furnished the wire, and I had some real good Volkeen wire. It's a type XHHW. It's 105 degrees centigrade rise above the ambient. And I ran, I think it's number 10, to the trunk. And there's plugs in the trunk where the spare tire's at. So I come up through there and then taped it down real securely and ran it over to the transceiver and then ran it directly to the battery, and I got it double fused. And it's a real clean installation. You know, you have to have that little bitty remote cord, but I just ran it under the back seat and the carpet and then ran it up to the dash here where the control module is. In other words, your LCD readout. And I mounted it in the armrest right in front of it where it opens up. And it worked like a champ.
Hey, gosh, I hadn't even attempted to install anything since the 80s, I guess, Tom. I drove a company car for so many years, I usually carried a handheld with me and a mag mount, if that. But I wouldn't know where to start nowadays. And I was telling David earlier, you know, the cord's got an aluminum hood. It may have an aluminum trunk as well. You know, that just, you know, that kind of changes things entirely as far as being able to mount one somewhere. I think the SUVs are a little easier to mount because some of them have roof racks and, you know, the tailgate type openings and that sort of thing. Of course, trucks are probably a little easier too, but one thing I noticed too is I don't, you know, I was looking at some of the ratings on some of the rigs not long ago, and a lot of these rigs don't drive more than about 11 or 12 amps or 50 watts. So that's not really, that's not terribly, terribly, you know, that's not terribly bad, I don't think.
Roger, this is NGLTR. Oh, I got some idiot behind me with the bass playing so loud it's going to deafen him. So if you hear the thumping, that's not me. Well, what I did, Jerry, is I ran it along the frame and kept it away from the catalytic converter and stuff like that, and I ran it in plastic tubing, that clear plastic, you know, about half inch, and that way it keeps anything from getting abraded, and at the same token, it overall, it's protecting, doesn't get frayed or go to ground or anything like that. Seemed like it's 2013, knock on wood. Back to you, Jerry.
Sounds like a really good idea. That tubing, especially, that stuff is fairly thick, too, what I've seen used before, and it just, you don't have to worry about the wires, you know, rubbing on anything or hitting a rock or something, having something get up in there between the frame and the wiring and making a mess of it. Yeah, I think that's the way I did. I'd get somebody, you know, give somebody me a body shop or somebody really knew where everything went, maybe to run it. I saw one guy, I saw one not long ago, I don't know whether it was on in a magazine or what, where a guy had run something similar to that and used some type of protective covering like that for his wiring. And he had some type, and I can't remember the name of this now, but it was like a brand name. It had some type of voltage regulator or something. I don't know if that's the correct term for it. It was for radio gear. He had that in the trunk to give him a constant voltage on his radio. But he, I think this guy might have had an HF rig instead of a, VHF, UHF dual band rig. Because I remember, I think I told you, I have either, I guess I think it was a 7950 or 7925, old Kenwood had a push button stuff on the front, set on the microphone. It was I was looking at a picture of one of those not long ago. I said, I didn't realize how big that rascal was. I had one of those, and probably one of my I went out my last truck, one of the trucks I had, one of those. That was a real good radio. But it was huge compared to the ones now.
Yeah, sold my TS-140 to an engineer over at the Catholic radio station here. And he was going to run it mobile. And my gracious, compared to these newer ones, it was big. I just... I don't want any part of HF in the mobile. There you can really run into some grounding problems and stuff, especially in modern automobiles. And I've talked to guys mobile before. I've talked to motorcycles in Belgium with HF on it, and I got the cards to prove it. And one of them's a Honda Goldwing, and he had two, probably ham sticks on the back. And... when the sunspots are up and that, and it's a lot more common than it is right now. But, you know, I was looking at CW today. Briefly, it looked pretty good. I haven't been doing it. I had some other things. I was putting a digital voltmeter on my existing power supply. My other one shot traps that I'd had for about 13 years. And I seen these ones at this Marlon P. Jones down in Florida for $6 for 2.5 digits. So it really works out good. You know, it says 13.8 some volts up there, you know. But I don't think you need as a general rule, I wouldn't think you'd need a voltage regulator in the car unless possibly if you were sitting still or something. But... the only one I know has got a lot of experience with that was Bill, and he had one in his camping trailer a long time ago in 4DJC and 0TR.
I tell you what, I mean, thinking back, I believe this guy had a, I think he was using it with some of these batteries, rechargeable batteries in the trunk, and I don't remember what, it might have been at the Orlando Hamcation. Somebody went by and was talking about, I think he had batteries in his trunk or something with that. That was probably what that was for, I think, to get the voltage, to bump up the voltage to 13.8 instead of 12, I believe. He was running it off the car, too. I think he was using something else to help keep him charged. But regardless, you know, yeah, that's 140. I had a 120 ES Kenwood. That was a really nice radio.
I had an amplifier for 19 years, and I worked anything and everything, Jerry, with that thing. Heard Island's down there about where this Beauvais is at, as far as distance goes and that, and I worked them on sideband and CW. When my call was in 0ZHB, and that's been, 93, something like that. And they just worked like a champ, and I still used it here for quite a while before I got the TS-590s. And that's what they had on Crozet Island the other day, was two TS-590 radios. I don't know if they're the S or the SGs, but... 100 watts. I worked at a station last night. No, it was this morning in Hungary. After I put that meter on, I just wanted to see what kind of fluctuation I had in voltage. And he was hungry, so I just kicked it up. I didn't even have the amplifier on. I kicked it up to 100 watts and easily worked him. And I bet you could have worked him on 5 watts.
Pretty good condition. When I land over here, run the vacuum cleaner in the room next door. That's what you hear. I tell you, I'm running a little small. My Astron here is like a 15 continuous 18 peak, and it runs 13.8. But, you know, it's got a fan, built-in fan, and I don't think I've ever heard the fan come on the power supply. And, of course, I run this radio about 25 watts. I don't run it at 50. But the radio fan, the AZ fan comes on this AZ radio. It doesn't run all the time. It, you know, you can let it stop and it'll stop, and it doesn't run continuously. It'll cut itself off when you stop transmitting. Usually it's pretty quiet. But it's got pretty good audio, transmit audio. I understand it's pretty good from people I've heard, but it's pretty good radio. But, you know, I just, you know, it's a shame I didn't have something like this years ago when before the cars got so so damn complicated with electronics. I'd like to have something like this in one of my trucks I had. Been a nice deal, but I bought my 120 from Ham Radio Outlet out of California back in 79, I think. And I loved that radio. And I had the Kenwood power supply. The power supply was about as big as the radio was, I believe. And I guess that was a switching supply by the time. You probably know that better than I, but I love that little radio. It was easy. You didn't have to tune it up or any of that business. It was first solid-state rig I believe I owned as far as an HF. N0TR and 4DJC.
GSP Airport. Jerry, back in them days, that would have been an analog type supply. Over the years, I've fixed several of the analog supplies, and normally it'll just be a pass transistor, or it'll be an LM732, if I got my numbers right, voltage regulator, little 16-pin IC. There's an 18.6 volt Zener in there that can fail, and other than that, they're just pretty much trouble free. I've only seen one that I didn't like, and it's only because I'm older now, and this has been several years ago, but a guy brought that over to me. I said, well, I'll look, but I don't know if I can fix it or not, because it's one I hadn't worked on, and I just can't reach some of that stuff down in there, and I don't want to make a basket case out of it. But what I liked about these 20s and 35s is the power transistors are just two screws, and you can slip them out. But some of them I ran into recently, they're soldered, and you know, you can destroy a transistor pretty easy with a soldering gun. And that's a weird looking boat, isn't it, Bernice? And it's on a trailer right in front of us. You get down in one, you'll burn wires and everything else, and you can just make a mess. But those switching supplies, I wouldn't even, I just throw it in the trash and go buy another one. I can't imagine what the analogs are costing now, though, dear, with all this inflation. I bet it'd shock you.
Linears are real expensive now. They're quieter. I think they're... If you're in a high noise environment, you know, they ain't gonna make much difference in a linear, but the linears are, they're probably two or three times, a linear at 25 or 30 amps is probably close to $350 or so if you can find one. And the switching works fine for VHF and UHF FM stuff, but it's a little noisy on HF on sideband CW. Not terrible, but it's still there. But, I remember that power supply, but I think was huge compared to the radio, like a big, larger shoebox almost, and the radio was very small. But it was a good radio. It was just a pleasure to be able to use it. I never had any finals fail on me, knock on wood, in any radio. I had an ICOM, I think it was might have been a 251 or something like that. It was ICOM 3-meter all-band rig. Had the finals fail on that thing twice. It was only a 10-watt rig, which is just, it must have been something wrong. I mean, my SWR was great on it, but it must have been something else in that radio that was a problem, because I've never had a final fail on any radio, and that was, they failed within probably 6 months of each time, I guess. I got rid of it after that. It was like about 80, 75, 80 bucks to replace them back in those days.
Don't know if it's a problem with the repeater or you timed it out there. It didn't say repeater timeout or anything. But back when the old HTX 202 handy talkies, they would burn out finals and that, and they were fixable enough. All surface mount stuff, and So I would order an MTE type device and get it in a bigger transistor if it would work at those frequencies, you know, and I probably still got some of them. And repeat the handy talkies like that. And another. I think maybe you got a low battery if you're on a handy-talky. This is NJLTR.
It's not me. That's somebody else coming in. They were behind you. They were talking. I could hear them talking behind you. I wasn't getting the repeater. So I think that's what you might have heard earlier. But you were solid in there. But something just kept... It was keying the repeater up, but it wasn't holding it.
No room there. Anybody wants to jump in, feel free. Well, we're taking some eggs down, and what else, Bernice? Oh, some wrenches and stuff that you altered for the kids. They're growing like weeds, Jerry. We're probably about 5 minutes out now or so. But, boy, my grass is growing. I almost need to mow grass, Jerry. That fescue is really looking beautiful. We put that pre-emergent and fertilizer down here about a week ago, then got some rain. That's a lot better than having to water it. I told my neighbor, he's got Bermuda. It's all brown and everything, you know. I said, hey, Tim, you think I need to mow my grass? He said, yeah, I'll wait till August, Tom.
Fescue didn't respond real well to fertilizer. The pre-emergent guy didn't come by this week. He was supposed to. I got to get my buddy to call him again, see if he's going to show up next week. I need to get it. It's really past time to put it down. I need to get it down to keep all the clover and all the junk out. Yeah, I wish somebody was trying to get in. If it might have been that other repeater coming through, I didn't hear a repeater tone, but I heard somebody just a bit or two here and there, and it just keyed it up, and, you know, I don't know if it actually keyed the repeater up and it broke square, so that was about it, a time or two. But you were 100% that time. And hope I am. Yeah, I tell you what, I don't envy you cutting grass. I got a guy that's mine. Lynn loved to cut it once she was able to before her shoulders gave out on her. Man, that's a job. Weed eating and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, but we don't have any trees in the yard now, so we don't have to worry too much about the leaves and the sweet gum balls and other junk that tears mowers up.
Sweet gum balls. I got one down in the timber down there. As I walk down there, I got to watch out for them, but it doesn't get out in my trail very much. But my neighbor, Tim, he figured out that... Well, first of all, my daughter made him an Excel sheet telling him what chemicals to put down at what time of year and everything on that Bermuda, which was different than mine. And he told me, he says, Tom, I can hire it down for, I don't know how much he said, and then they discontinue it for like 3 months during the winter. And he says, I can hire it done cheaper than I can do it myself. So he hires it done now, and I always kid him about being cheap, but he did that. I'm surprised. He's out building a chicken house now and got a real nice-looking chicken house going there. And I still think he said he had, how much did he say he had in that thing, Merce? 1,500 or something? I don't know. But at any rate, He's doing a good job of it. He just got done building a deck, and he'd be out there working in that cold weather, and he's 55 years old. Bernice made him a coconut cream pie for his birthday here last week, and his mom used to make them, but she passed away, and so Bernice makes him one every year, several times a year usually. Well, Jerry, we're getting close to our destination here. I don't think that's kids down there. No, that's little kids. They go out and walk their dogs sometime. Good talking to you. Sorry I missed you the other day. Something come up and I couldn't get back to the radio. And I heard you talking, but I was real busy at the time. Great to hear you. Pleasure's all mine. Have a good day, Jerry. N4DJC, N0TR73.
Bernice, Bernice, have a nice afternoon with them. I think our grandkids are coming tomorrow night, going to spend the night with us, since they got a day off on Monday. So I'll be busy tomorrow evening. Well, I say I'll be busy. I don't know if I'll be busy or not. They'll be busy. You guys have a good afternoon. Be safe. Good talking to you. N0TRN4DJC clear.
Tom, have a good evening, Bernice. N4CHY.
Press N0TR and we'll be 2RT for now. 73.
I think your rare DX hadn't heard you on in a month or so, I guess. N4DJC.
Conditions been pretty bad over here in Seneca. I don't know about how Anderson is.
I've been under the weather for about a month and a half now. I'm feeling better now, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But good to hear you on. You've been busy.
Busy at work. Still in the office, so we're back on a rotating schedule. But I got some green folks around, so I'm continuing to work in the office for now.
Actually, Road asked for lunch today. Thought about you. I said, I wonder if Keith's hanging out somewhere in here.
Purdue for one of them trips too. We still continue to do hashtag state night around here. So and the wife was actually out of town for about a month. So I had state sometimes a couple of times a week. So that was pretty nice.
Everything going okay?
Her daughter bought a house and she went down there to help her pack and then move and then unpack and then stopped unpacking and redecorated and then unpacked again and, you know, got everything settled.
Very time consuming. Yeah, we went out to Bimini's Friday, a couple weeks ago, I guess, Friday evening. It was really good. Horses are good and they were, where these came from, they were really good. It had a good flavor to them and pretty big ones still on top of that. But hadn't been Lost Cajun yet. We hadn't been probably, I don't think we've been about 6 months. We'll have to hit that one up sometime soon.
Yeah, well, I hadn't been over there since last time we talked, and I've been there. Just hadn't been getting over to Greenville very much, and like I said, with work, I hadn't been getting much anywhere very much, but just kind of hanging out here at the house, and the whole time she was gone, I think I ate out 3 times. When she's gone, that's my experimentation time, because she don't care much for onions and peppers, or onions and peppers don't care much for her, so that's when I kind of go nuts with my cooking and play around with different stuff, and yeah, really enjoyed that.
That's interesting. you get to do some experiment with things, cooking. The weather hadn't been great. It's been off and on. It's been good this week, but man, it's pretty chilly this morning, and it's gonna be kind of cold again this in the morning. I think it's supposed to warm up a little bit next week, but seems like there's something else. Oh yeah, have you heard anything from Stacy? I hadn't heard him on in a long time.
From him personally, but I did see him post on Facebook yesterday. He seemed like he was still doing okay. But yeah, I hadn't talked to him in a while either. I was trying to remember the last time since Lawrenceville, but talked to him a couple of times. But yeah, we hadn't got together to do anything lately. But yeah, last I heard, he's still doing pretty good.
I'll go in mall on Mondays and Tuesdays when he's usually there, so I don't have a chance to add him. I hadn't heard him on the repeater in a long time, and either one of them. Last time I talked to him, I talked to him for a while, but that was back before Lawrenceville, I think. So that's been a while back. But I heard you check in the other time or two. I knew you told me you were going to be real busy this next few months with moving everything down there, getting everything changed around at your location. But I don't want to hold you up. It's good to hear you on, and hope to talk to you when things get a little easier. And I hope you had a I guess y'all enjoyed Lawrenceville. Y'all had a good time, and I knew I really wanted to go to Orlando, but there's no way in the world I could go with the health issues I've had the last month or so. I can't travel much at all right now. I'm doing okay now, but it's going to be a while before I feel really comfortable with some of the stuff that's going on. But anyway, good talking to you, Keith, and you know, keep in touch. Hear me out. Give me a holler, please. KM4CHY, N4DJC.
Yeah, and the reason I broke in, I heard you and Tom, your original conversation about mounting antennas in the vehicles, and I was hoping y'all was going to throw out a name of somebody, because I'm kind of entertaining a new vehicle, too, and kind of looking at, I'd really like to get a mount in the roof, you know, like a proper NMO or something. I just cannot do that by myself. I've seen a guy, I don't know if I've mentioned it to you before, I've seen a guy at Shelby, I believe it was, brand new Suburban, had purchased him a radio and antenna, and he was out on the roof of that Suburban, mid-roof with a hole saw, and it pained me. I was like cringing and getting aches and pains just watching him move.
You know, Keith, I don't know anybody that, you know, it used to be, you know, Motorola people and folks like that that do that sort of thing, but, you know, they run these 800 megahertz deals now, so they, I don't think they do a lot of that anymore, but radio shops used to do that, the guys who did commercial radios, but, I mean, there's a punch that they make up, or they used to make a punch for one another. Guy up in Rock Hill, the radio technician for the ham radio store a few years ago, he had a punch made for the mount like that, and he just, you know, get up there and you drill kind of a pilot hole in it, and you put something on the other side of it and use a wrench, and I think that's what it did or something, and you just kind of pushed on through it. It just punched it out, but I don't know whether it, you know, I don't recall exactly how it worked. It might have been different with that, but they did have a standard type hole punching system that they used on those NMO mounts, but I haven't seen anybody do that in years. That's the way to do it. If you're going to do it, that's going to give you a perfect ground plane and, you know, get the antenna away from everything. If you know, you just got to watch, I guess you got to watch where you drive under it. Other than that, that's the ideal situation.
Thought about, we've got a little shop up here in Seneca that still does you know, car radio installs and stuff, so I thought about checking with him and see if he's familiar with that kind of thing, and like y'all were talking about the new cars nowadays, I would imagine that's probably a lot to do with why people's getting out of that is just the sheer liability of the whole thing. Yeah, and I was going to mention too, I think I told you before, I had a little smart car, and it actually had thing about ham radios, that if you're mounting a ham radio, don't not recommended to go over 50 watts, but it could handle up to 50 watts. So I guess they, it was kind of neat that they actually thought about that, and it was specifically calling out ham radios.
Interesting. I've seen some vehicles, I mean, electric vehicles, caution about that thing, but they're just talking about radios, you know, commercial radios or anything like that. But that's interesting. They would take a head to do that. I don't know. What kind of vehicle are you looking at? You already got a new vehicle, or are you looking at something?
Around right now, I did discover that I've always been a Chevy guy, and I was going to just go down and see what they had. And to my surprise, the only car that Chevy has anymore is a Malibu. They don't make any other cars. Everything's SUVs and trucks. And the guy told me, and then another friend of mine at work confirmed, like in a unrelated conversation, that Ford doesn't make any cars now. All they make is trucks and such. So yeah, I was just kind of surprised with that.
In discretion, look, I didn't know that. I tell you how far behind I am in reading. I had no idea of that, but I don't see any. I guess there aren't any Ford cars. Sure enough, any sedans. Everything's an SUV or a truck, and I think Toyota still makes the Camry. They got a replacement for the Avalon, and Honda's got the Accord and the Civic, and they got another higher end version of the Accord out coming out this year too. And of course, they got an electric vehicle too, some type or another. But I had no idea Ford and Chevy were out of the car business. I guess there's just not any money in it with the other makers taking up the slack. That's pretty wild. That's hard to believe. If they would do that, go that far, but yeah, I guess that's what sells, and they make what sells.
Imagine that's the brunt of it right there. And I don't know how much longer the Malibu will last either, because the price tags they had on them was a bit underwhelming or shocking or however you want to look at it.
I think one of my daughter's friends in the neighborhood has bought a new Jeep Grand Wagoneer, whatever the big one is now. That thing was like $80,000, I think, or more.
Yep, no way I'm gonna pay that kind of money for a vehicle. To us, that's house prices. So, yeah, that ain't happening anytime soon. Yeah, it seems like the Malibu starts at like high 20s, and of course what they have on their lot from low 30s to mid to kind of high 30s. So, yeah, that's too much for that little bit of a car. But yeah, Toyota still makes, of course, the Camry, and they make the Corolla, and I was kind of surprised at that. I'm going to go look at some of those. They've got a Corolla hatchback now, too. And I was considering Honda. The Civics are still, they're reasonable, but they're starting to get a little high, too, depending on how you get it outfitted. I'd always kind of admired CRV, and those are like most of them now. It's up to about 40,000 now.
Training for DJC. One thing I noticed, once they go up, they don't go back down again. They're just taking advantage of people, I guess. But what I pay for my Accord, I mean, I'd have to add another $7,000 or $8,000 to get the same thing in the Accord I've got now, equipped exactly the same, except mine's paid for. the CRV was, when I bought this one, 4 years ago, when the CRVs were still about in the Accord price range, you could get one for 25 or 26 or something like that. But now they've got a new one out now. This HRV or whatever was the one that was. It was the little small SUV deal that was built on the Honda Fit chassis. Now they bulked it up, and it's a lot bigger car now. And the Civics are, you can put a Civic and a Accord side by side now, Keith, a new one, and you can, other than the Civic, because it sits a little lower, and of course it doesn't ride as well, they look almost like, it looks like they shrunk the Accord by about 10%. It doesn't have that, Civic doesn't have that short nose anymore. It looks more like an old Civic or a mini Accord. And the Corollas, the new Corollas are pretty good looking cars. I like those. Whatever their SUV is, is nice too. But gosh, those things, Toyota's really putting a premium on their trucks and SUVs based on what I've seen.
Due to unforeseen circumstances, years ago, the wife has a mid-size truck. She's got a Colorado now. Started out with a Canyon. And we bought that back in 21, I believe, beginning of 21. And so we've got a truck, so we don't need a truck. So I'm just looking for something, and the pricing has kind of geared me towards something smaller to drive back and forth to work. Went to look at, while I was up looking at the Malibus, I went to look at like tracks and trailblazers and things like that. They didn't have any tracks on the lot. They had several trailblazers that were, they were reasonably priced. But man, those things have like a, it's not but like a 1.5 or maybe a 1.3 liter turbo in them, to where the like Corollas and stuff, well, they still have a 2 liter and, you know, somewhat normally aspirated. I'm guessing it's fuel injection, but it's not, I don't believe it's turbo.
That's kind of the way it was with the cord, the cord trim level that I have, and the one that I have would normally be, would have been a 2 liter, or might even been a, you could have got it one step up and got a V6 in it, but it's got a intercooled turbo, now it's 1.5 liters, but it is absolutely a screamer. I mean, that thing, I mean, it will get away, I mean, it's smooth. It's not, doesn't have that boost like you used to feel in early. That thing will absolutely fly. But again, though, with that turbocharger spinning at 100,000 RPM, you just don't know how long those things are going to last. But it's really a smooth turbo. It doesn't have that herky-jerky boost like the old ones did. But the Toyotas, the Corolla, I tell you what, I mean, I would be, between the Civic and the Corolla, I mean, I like the Civics. My wife's got an old one. She's got hers. It's a 2005. It's a much, much smaller car than the new ones are. And I like the Civic. But the Corollas, we've been out with Corollas for years, and we just got really good service out of them. This Civic has been awfully good, too. We had a bit of trouble out of it, but the Corollas, also, if they don't have all behind us now, just about have that constant velocity transmission thing, too. They don't have actual automatic transitions and transmissions with actual, you know, four speeds and that sort of thing anymore, I don't think. But the Corolla may have something like that. That's the CVTs are good, but I just don't know how long they'll last. I don't have any idea, you know, whether they'll last 100,000, you know, 150,000 miles like most of us drive there or not.
Longevity of them have concerned me with the turbos. And, yeah, and I know they're pushing a lot more horsepower out of that little bitty four-cylinder than back in the old days. But I'm like you, I think that's going to be a quick wearing point, you know, because comparatively, this Accord that I'm driving back and forth to work now has got 293,000 miles on it. So I'm bound and determined. I'm going to get a new one, but before I put a bullet in this one, I'm going to try to make 300,000 out of it.
How old is that one, Keith?
5 hybrid. It's the first hybrid that they did, the integrated motor assist thing. Battery's about wore out on it. It still works, but yeah, it boy, it doesn't leak a drop of oil. It's got a little bit of a tap now that you know, doesn't affect anything. It doesn't burn any oil. It's just been an excellent car.
That was good. My brother-in-law loved it. That's all he bought for years. And he was trying to find some older ones. He said the old ones are bringing as much money as he said, bringing big money now, too. You know, they don't have a lot of miles on them. But, yeah, I just drive it till it, I drive it till it quit, I guess. I had my last Camry I had 252 or 262 on it, and it was, it would have gone another 100,000. It would have gone, you know, 350 easy, I feel sure. It was not leaking any oil. It was in good mechanical shape. It had a, it was one of the ones that had, it didn't have a belt, had a timing chain on it. And this Accord I got now has a timing chain on it too. I think, I'm not 100% sure, it may or may not. But like I said, you know, they just built them. Most people just don't keep cars that long anymore, Keith, like you do, or like I do. Don't put the, they put miles on them. They might keep them 3 or 4 years, and it's just not the same thing as keeping something long term. And Lynn keeps asking about her. I said, well, as long as it's still reliable and running, we're gonna hang on to it, because you know you're not gonna, as long as you're having trouble with transmission or engine, there's nothing wrong with sitting in the garage and driving once or twice a week, and that's good to go.
After that, and I've I've gone kind of the same path. I've owned Civics and Accords, and I actually had an old Camry that was, I think it was an 02. And that thing, it had a ton of miles on it, and it was probably one of the most reliable cars that I ever had. Ended up selling it to a friend of mine because he was in a pinch, and that car like went through three different people at work, and then got sold out of the work family to somebody else. And the last I heard, it was still going.
Camera I had was the one I drove at work when I basically retired. Excuse me, 2008, I think. It's either 07, maybe a little bit older than that, but. It had about 150 on it, and I put at least another 100 on it and sold it for more than I paid for it.
Yeah, that one, it had the 2.2 liter in it, and yeah, it's a problem out of it. I liked helping the buddy out, but it did hurt a little bit to get rid of it. But yeah, he needed it more than I did. It was just, it was a spare car at the time for me, so. When he come up needing it, we sold it to him.
Our first Camry was the first year they changed the body style in 92, and we kept it, I think, for 12 years. But what happened with it was the insulation, you know, and the air conditioning stuff started blowing stuff. It just started deteriorating, and the bushings and the suspension started deteriorating. And the guy here, the Toyota guy here, not Toyota dealership, he was a service manager here for years, and he had a business down the road down here, and he told me, that's just what's going to happen with them. But, you know, my wife's car now has not had any kind of deterioration like that. It's still everything works on it. The only problem is when they replace the airbags in it, there's some of that stuff with that plastic, the paint or whatever on the airbag covers on the passenger side and the driver's side is getting tacky. That's, you know, that happens from time to time. The old ones were fine, but those are the ones that might give you a problem with exploding. But that's the only thing with hers. And other than that, though, it's been a good car. Like I said, we drive. She still drives it, you know, a couple times a week. And it's fun to drive because it's small, and you kind of get in and out of parking places pretty easy with it. But, you know, there's going to come a time when it's not going to be, it's going to be, it's going to be ready to go to, but it's only got about 80,000 miles on it, so I'm going to hang on to it till we don't need two cars anymore.
CHY, yep, I don't blame you one bit, especially, I mean, that's fairly low mileage. I would definitely, you know, it just pleases me if I can get one to cross a quarter million miles, and that's, you know, with the Hondas and the Toyotas, you can regularly do that. I had one Chevrolet, an old 71 Impala, that made it to just over 300. It was an amazing vehicle, but I've not had another one other than a Honda or Toyota that's made that kind of miles anymore.
My dad drove a rural route, mail carrier, and this was in dust all the time, and he might give 70,000 to 80,000 out of one, but that's about, you know, the dust just eats them alive. But I've never had anything. I've had cars that, you know, 70,000 to 80,000 on them, but the last American brand car I had, I guess, was a 78 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, and that was the biggest piece of junk I ever owned, I guess. That thing was just terrible. Stuff started peeling off of it. I mean, it wasn't very old at all, and I wound up trading it in for, I don't know whether I got a Toyota then or not. I can't remember what I got. It might have traded it for a Corolla, but, we just hadn't had that much trouble out of Corollas. And we've only had, this is just our, it's my third Honda, I guess. And we had a CRX back in the 80s. And Lynn's had that Civic. My daughter had a couple of Civics, and she enjoyed hers. And her husband was so tall he couldn't get them, so she had to sell hers when she got married. But and this Accord, I'm tickled with the Accord. It's a good driving car. But they can't see out of it. The windows are so narrow on it. And if you didn't have a backup camera, and I could have backed it or anything without somebody behind me directing me.
Yeah, other than that, you know, and, cords have always been, even this one, you know, being as old and beat up as it is, it's still a good riding car. I'm probably look at those two, but I think the price is going to steer me more towards like a, even a Civic maybe, and I do like Civics, and I really like the looks of the new ones too, but then again, a little Corolla or a Corolla hatchback would do fine for me if we're just going back and forth to work, but I would like to have a radio put in it at some point. I might have to do like y'all were talking about and go with, like Tom was talking about, do a lip mount or something on it eventually, but I'll ask this guy here, see if he does anything like that.
I ran a lip mount for a long time on one of my Corollas, and I didn't have much trouble with it at all. I ran one of the old Morrison, you know, just the ones that you cut for the frequency for 2 meters, and I just clipped it on the lip, and it was fine, but I see a lot of man on hatchbacks. They've got all these Diamond and Comet, all these the Japanese manufacturers. They got all kinds of mounting systems on them. That's a lot better than what we had available to us back in the 80s or 90s even. But I've seen a couple of those installations look real clean. But again, it's I cringe every time I think about punching a hole in the top of a car, but I have done it in a truck before, but car, I mean, I'd have to get along hard before I did it. It'd be my luck I'd push it in the wrong place.
There's one thing if it's like a utility truck or something, it's a whole another ball game. If it's a passenger car, or it's something that you use for nice traveling and things like that. You know, like I was saying about the guy at Shelby, me cringing and all, I'd just soon, like, drop it off like an outpatient surgery and, okay, fix it and just give it back to me done.
My stereo insulation stuff over the years is cutting holes in gate panels and putting speakers in the back and all that sort of stuff. I had an old Corolla, Tercel, Toyota Tercel two-door, and I think it was 1980. This is a little one that, you know, that's about like driving a sardine can. That was a thin. I think it might have been the first front-wheel drive Toyota had at the time. But it was transverse, though. It didn't have the, the engine was sitting in a straight, and the axle was like a transaxle. But I remember that thing had so many holes in the bottom of the dash keys, it looked like a woodpecker got a hold of it. And I sold it to a friend of mine, and I don't think he ever even noticed them.
I understand. And I was kind of impressed with the truck. We got the towing package with it, so I was looking at putting in a brake controller. And so it's, you know, pre-wired for a brake controller. But there's all kinds of passages from, like, through the rails on the bed, and up to being able to and route it through to wherever you need it to go. So I was really impressed with that.
I had a new Toyota truck late last year. You got just a Tacoma, three-door Tacoma. It's kind of just a work truck type thing. But, man, it's got everything you want in one. But, man, if I'd had something like that when I was younger, I would have really enjoyed it. It had all kinds of stuff that mine never had.
Well, CHY, I'm kind of happy it's a PTT here. Like I said, that was just impressed me. And I'm not kind of expecting the passenger cars to be that friendly with that kind of stuff. But, we'll see, I guess. And I've seen it was kind of a lip mount, but it mounted to kind of like the C pillar, or maybe it was on the actual hatch on the back. And it was kind of like a 90-degree mount on the bottom of it. And it was good for, like, the SUV, and that's what it was actually on, like a little Ford SUV. And that was a good-looking install, so I could go with something like that if I had to.
Yeah, there's actually, I mean, there are a lot of alternatives out there. It just depends on the car that you can use. And I just, sometime I remember somebody knew had one of those motorized, we opened it. I thought it was motorized. It may not have been. They might have just been folded.